Come on, just give God a praise today. Do you believe that today? Just praise Him today. There's a word from the Lord today that comes from the book of Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible, Revelation. And sometimes people hear this, oh, it's Revelation. It is a part of the writ. So if you look in your Bibles, we'll also put it on the screen as well. I'm a visual person, so I'll allow you to cheat. There in the third chapter, verses 15 and 16, it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I want to share today from the sermonic title, The Lukewarm Christian. The Lukewarm Christian. Albert Moine is someone whose name you may not recognize. He was a student at the University of Washington, and there came a time when he was, I guess, going to wash his hands and realized that the faucets were not easily distinguishable between hot and cold, and he burned his hand. From that, he was inspired to do something a little different, something called a single handle faucet. Now, you may have that in your home already, or you may remember the day when there was not running water. Amen. Now, going to grandma's meant that you went to the well. And the well water was it. I said earlier today that the saints of old would say, you are buying water now? That would allow them to really scratch their heads. And you don't have to be old school to know that. But he made this invention so you could get all at the same time. Left is hot, right is cold. Somewhere in the middle, you get warm water. Amen?
Amen.
And this invention by Mr. Meon was so popular that in 1959, that Forbes magazine put him in the same ranks as Henry Ford's Model T. And in the same breath as Ben Franklin's stove. But this was considered a luxury at the time. You know, the people who live in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, knew quite a bit about water of different and varying treatment. They used it for different temperatures. Hierapolis, right there in Asia Minor, was known for hot springs. And I'm thinking even now that in our presidential history, I think it was Roosevelt, would always go down to Hot Springs, Georgia. So there are places that the springs are still hot. And then over in Colossae, this was an area known for its cool water, refreshing water. And these bodies of water went right into another city called Laodicea. Laodicea, one of seven churches that John wrote to while he was in prison on the Isle of Patmos. And Jesus came to him and says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write to the churches. And back in 2012, we were able, myself and a group of seminarians from St. Mary's Seminary, spent time in Greece, and we ended up in Turkey. What a great trip that was. But we were able to learn so many things during that visit. We stopped at a church that had been recently excavated, so to speak, and I thought that was something. I took pictures in front of it that this is an old church that has been dug up and with great care. Not long after that, our tour guide, Dr. Michael Gorman, who was dean at the time, said, let's sit out here in one of the amphitheater areas and let's talk about what we're seeing. And he was able to read from the book of Revelation as we sat there. But Laodicea was a wealthy center, known for many things, medical school. They really had it going on. But they also had a temperature problem. Amen? The church at Laodicea was lukewarm. Not the buildings, but the people. And you know by now that a church is a building, but we are the church. Right. We are the body of Christ. So when folk down the church, they down in you. We can't be at work saying, oh, the church is nothing. Don't you take that. You remind them that we are the church.
Oh, yeah.
And that we're not a perfect people, but we represent that, which is of God. You remember back in the great tragedy when people couldn't, you had no space in church during 9/11. Folk thought that was the end.
Yeah.
Man, they were running over you to get the church.
Yeah.
So the church, and that is the people, have a role. Jesus had observed whether the people in Laodicea, whether they were hot or cold, but he noticed that they were lukewarm. And I believe it was based on what he knew, first of all, about their spiritual condition, what he knew about their spiritual position, and what he was willing to do by giving them an option. Mm-hmm. Spiritual condition. I know your deeds. I could stop right there. Is that he knew them enough to know their works. He knew them enough to know what they had done. And it's not just the church at Laodicea, but what about the church at Harvest? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That would include the pastor right on down. Amen.
Yeah.
That the Lord knows our deeds.
Yes.
He knows what we are about as a people. He knows the work that we have done. And he is the only one who can determine whether it's hot, cold, or lukewarm. Later in this third chapter, it is explained. What do you mean by that? And these are the words that are penned. But you do not realize that you are wretched. You do not realize that you are pitiful. You do not realize that you are poor and that you are blind and that you are naked. That sounds kind of hard, don't it?
Yeah.
In modern terms, what that means is that you're half committed and that you're half-hearted and that you're self-satisfied and that you are lethargic. He knew the people and he knew their condition. He knows us. Aren't you glad the Lord knows you, knows what you're about?
Yeah.
You don't have to put on a show. Just be who you are.
Yeah.
I'm listening to an audio book even now, and I'm the kind of person that I can get a book. If I get something at the beginning, I could leave the book right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it talks about being your authentic self, being who you are. Amen. Can't be everybody else.
That's
just
right.
Be who God has called you to be.
Right.
Praise God. Folks talk about a role model. You know, you got to be you.
Yeah.
24/7.
Right.
And the word says in Jeremiah 1:5, because of how much he knows us. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Yeah.
Before you were born, I set you apart.
Yeah.
I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jesus called these Christians lukewarm based on their condition, but also their spiritual position, where they stood. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Now that sounds kind of, the text didn't say, you know, it said spit. Some versions say vomit. And so it is what it is.
Yes.
That is of a state that is not pleasing to God.
Yeah.
Hot on fire. Anybody like that, you know, that you can't get through a sentence and they're on fire for Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Anybody know anybody like that? Then they just assume to talk about Jesus at the drop of a hat. I was laughing, and you've heard the story many times. Our good friend Terry Kirk up the street, Pastor Central Assembly, and I have forgotten it, told me about the day I met him at Jiffy Lube.
Oh, yeah.
and how I was trying to lead him to Jesus. I thought I had him, man. And at the end, he says, you know, Reverend, I am a pastor. I said, that's all right. I'd rather apologize than to miss an opportunity to let someone know about the goodness of the Lord. All about trying to win a soul for Jesus. All about trying to encourage someone that Jesus is real. Do you believe he's real today? Is he real in your life? And to be cold means that you're not hot, but it means you can be warmed up. Amen. To be cold means that you're open to the gospel. To be cold means that you can be changed. And Christ says, John, tell them, either or. But what I cannot stand is lukewarm. That to the Lord, this was nauseating, is to have someone to be kind of in the middle. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, there's the commitment, he must deny himself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. Where do you stand? Only you know that. What's your position on faith? And what is your position on sin? Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Amen? Where do you stand? I believe that goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. What do you stand on? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You ought to have a position. Folk ought not be trying to guess where you stand with your lifestyle. You ought to be saying, listen, here's where I stand. Not bragging, but I'm a child of the King. Don't hate. I'm a child and a king's kid today. Jesus knew the position of the church. He had made the observation. He knew what they were about. He knows what we are about. Isn't that something? And folk are not with you all the time. So, amen. So you might be a Sunday Christian, but Monday, don't mess with you around the break room. Oh, you'll lay somebody out. Don't catch me on a Tuesday. It's been a bad day. Wednesday, watch out. Friday, it's payday. It's Friday. But thank be to God today, because he knows who we are. He can use us in any circumstance. And I'm glad about that today. That for the lukewarm Christian, he knows their position and knows their condition, but then he also offers, I believe, an option. He don't just leave us. Okay, now you lukewarm and I'm going to spit you out. I'm done with you. No, that's what the world does. Jesus gives us a chance. And over in Revelation 3:19-20, they're up on the screen. It says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. That sounds like a second chance to me. Verse 20 says, here I am. Yeah, the same one who called you lukewarm. The same one I'm about to spit out my mouth. The same person. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Isn't that a gracious God? That even though your label has been lukewarm, that God still comes along and give you some hope. While folk may kick you to the curb, he said, I know you messed up, but you can change your temperature. The thermostat can be changed even today. Amen. We don't have to remain as a lukewarm Christian. He's knocking on the doors of our hearts today. You know, it's like when you go visit the doctor, first thing the doctor wants to do, you're already half nervous anyway. You know, you ain't done what you're supposed to do since the last visit anyway. Some of y'all. And then they take your temperature and you're like, small talk, how's it going? And they put the thing on you. You good? Okay, all right. Thank you. Doctor comes in, does the examination. But mama would use an old thermometer. Some of y'all are too young. Wasn't no electronics. She could pull that thermometer out and shake that thing. And I see Jean's a nurse. She's old school, Miss Jean. And then shake that and then put it under your tongue. And then she would know, okay, you okay? You can go to school today. You're not going out to play today. And isn't that something? That it was based on that instrument. And then when that didn't work, mama would just say, come here, let me put my hand. Okay, yeah. You're all right. Get out the house. But that's good news today, that he puts his hand on us. And I'm glad about that today, because Jesus knows our potential. 1 John 3:2 says, "Dear friends, now are we children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. But we shall see him as he is." Is that good news today? And one thing about the preach word is that, you know, one thing the preacher gets excited about, that when you've spent all week in the study and you've taken time to pray that God has led, you want to celebrate too. Amen. So you want to get excited about what God is doing. And so before that can happen, we got to take the right flight. I want you to use your imagination today. You can no longer ride on lukewarm airline. A week or so ago, and Deacon Marsh can, and Sister Marsh can tell you that there was a problem with a certain airline. There were problems getting people home, and they couldn't get out, and they were sleeping in the airport, and they had to go find a rental car to get where they had to go. But those who finally got on the plane, you were glad to hear the voice of the crew. They want to let you know that we're glad to have you on board. And I came across this from an unknown author, and I'm going to add my 2 cents to it, but I want to just kind of close with this. It says, "Welcome to Flight 2023. We're preparing for takeoff, but please make sure your attitude has been secured and that it's been locked in an upright position. All self-destructive devices should be turned off at this time. All negativity and all hurt and all discouragement should be put away." Amen? In case we lose altitude under pressure, reach up and pull down prayer. And prayer will automatically activate your faith. And once your faith has been activated, you can assist other passengers. And there will be no baggage allowed on this flight. The captain says we've been cleared for takeoff. Our destination is greatness. And here's where I added some Tim Tootin to it. I added this imaginary flight plan. Once we reach cruising altitude, God would direct the Holy Spirit to put on the no seatbelt sign. And you can walk around the cabin every now and then. And the crew on Heaven's Flight will not serve you a mix. They will serve you the bread of life. And don't look now, but you're sitting in first class right next to the light of the world. Isn't that good news today? But as we make our final approach, I want you to put up your tray tables in an upright position and put on your shouting shoes, because we are going to a land where the wicked will cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest. Where every day is Sunday and heaven will have no end. But before I let you go, there's one small key eternal detail. In order to book your flight, I don't need to see your ID or your passport, but rather your heart, and is it open to Jesus? That reserves you a seat in glory. And that's possible because you've allowed him to come into your heart. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, which for long I have sought, since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, since Jesus came into my heart. Can I talk about me today? Since he came into my heart, I live better now. Since he came into my heart, I walk better now. I'm glad today that I'm on the right flight. I'm glad today that I know where I'm going. I'm glad today that I serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today, and his name is Jesus. I feel mighty good this morning, because I realize, had it not been for the Lord on my side, had it not been for the Lord guiding me, I would have slipped and would have fallen, and the enemy would have had his way. But thank God that he's a God who takes my temperature. Amen. Can I go back there again? He'll let me know if I'm going to be all right. That you might have some trouble along the way, but based on what he's finding, I know that I can make it on this journey. Isn't that good news today?
that I'm not a lukewarm Christian, but I'd rather be called a hot one. One who's always trying to burn things up. Every now and then, the fire department, there's one up the street. You'll hear the siren because they got to go and rescue somebody. I'd rather be on fire for Jesus than to be lukewarm. I'd rather be on fire for the master than to be a lukewarm savior. Right now, I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come here, Hebrew boys. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. See, every now and then, folk won't like your message. You won't do what they tell you to do, and they want to put you in a furnace. No problem. They went into the furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar said, turn it up about 7 times higher, and they got hot up in there. Hallelujah. But aren't you glad today that even though it was hot, that when they came back to check on those boys, you knew they were not lukewarm because of who they had in the fire with them. Oh, I'm excited about that today. Amen. And say, I thought we put in 3, but I see a 4th. It is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Today, I'm glad that I'm on the battlefield for the Lord and I'm not tired yet. And it don't take much to fire me up. Just turn the knob and I'm ready to testify about what he's done for me. It don't take long to warm me up. I'm already on the road. The lukewarm Christian. Well, I used to be, but something happened that changed the thermostat in my life. And he wants to do that for you today. That's the word of God. Come on, step over this place today. There were many things in life that were getting me excited. Can I just be transparent today? You know, I used to like to party. Well, revenue. I've not lost my steps. But I got a joy out of going to the nightclub, and I was the DJ. So when I came to the board, rap hadn't got in yet, and I would just play my stuff, man, and people were just like, come on, y'all better dance. And I did that then. That was my popularity. So when I came on the Lord's side, I didn't want to be cool, calm, collective. I want to have the same fire. I want to be as excited about winning souls as I was from sinning. And when God changes your life, when he transforms you, it's a mighty nice thing. Think about what you used to be. And folk can remind you, yeah, you in church now, but I remember you when. Yeah? You might be singing on the choir now, but I remember the old you. That's it. The old me. As we bow together today, I'm glad I served the great physician. No need for an appointment. Just show up on your knees. He will hear your prayer. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. As we come today, Lord, we thank you for reminders today. And the church of Laodicea just reminded us of what we can become if we're not careful. How we can go quickly from hot to lukewarm. Or from cold to lukewarm. But Lord, I ask you today to keep us regulated. If there's one today who knows not Jesus Christ in the pardon of their sins, it is our prayer that you might touch that heart today. You are the heart fixer and the mind regulator. So even now, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Yes. Save someone today. Take them out of a lukewarm state that they may know who Jesus is, not was, but who he is from the uttermost. Thank you, Lord.